So, the question about mixtures is a very interesting one when it comes to halakha of kashrut. We mentioned over the past couple of weeks, the last time we had class, I guess, and a few weeks before that, we were talking about all sorts of different ways of how you can separate, you know, between dairy and meat in terms of how long you wait, and in terms of your tablecloth. We talked about fish and meat, and in terms of cooking in a meat pot, all those kind of things. Those are all great ways to separate between the different types of foods, of meat and dairy, to make sure that you don't run into any problems. The question is, though, what happens if you unfortunately, by accident, mix up some food, which is dairy and meat? Okay, this could happen in a few different ways. This could happen either by... Okay, you guys tell me, what kind of ways can you mix up dairy and meat together, like in terms of foods? Give me some examples of what things can get mixed together or get confused. Anybody? Guys, what do you say? What do you say, guys? Talk to me. Nobody's talking to me.
Wait, can we repeat the question?
Yes, let's repeat the question. Okay. The question is, what kind of ways can you think of, just examples of cases where dairy and meat food would have gotten like mixed up, confused or mixed up?
Dairy
and meat.
In the fridge.
In the fridge. What does that mean?
You think you, I don't know, something like that's packaged up, you can't cut it, and then, I don't know, something like
it gets... How does it get mixed up? Tell me what the mix-up is. What exactly happens?
You put a meat thing in a Tupperware, you put a milk thing in a Tupperware, you take from the meat thing
without really... Okay, and what do you do with it?
And you put the meat thing on a milk plate.
Okay, you put a meat thing on a milk plate. So that's not so bad, right? Fine, you have a plate, maybe it's cold, maybe it's fine. We'll have to get to that. The general principle that if everything's cold, then it's not treif. Okay, you can still use it afterwards, you just got to wash it off first.
Okay.
If it's hot, then you're right, you have a problem. But let's get to even worse case for starters. Okay, let's say you actually mix milk, dairy, and meat together. Okay.
When you're cooking.
Yeah.
Oh, so you think you're using the
horror
cream, but it's not.
Oh, it's dairy. Dairy cream in, for example. In what?
A dessert.
A dessert. What kind of meat dessert?
No, true.
What?
Okay.
Okay, a dairy cream. Anybody put cream in their soup? I have no idea. You tell me. Yeah?
Cream of mushroom soup or cream of broccoli soup.
Oh, okay. So let's say like this. Excellent. All right. So... let's say like this. Let's say in your cream of mushroom soup, you also put some, fill in the blank.
Cheese.
Okay, cheese, but then what's the problem? We need to have a problem here.
You put cheese in your chicken soup. Why would you put cheese in there?
Let's try to think of a realistic example here. A little
so
bit, somewhat realistic.
Your croutons turn out to be...
okay, maybe your croutons are dairy, and you put your croutons in chicken soup. Or let's say that you have, you know, your cream or whatever, and you put your cream, which you thought was power, but really is dairy, into a mushroom soup, which also happens to have some chicken, meat.
Yeah,
I guess you're right. It's not so great, but come on.
Rice can be...
What?
Chicken, cream
and curry. Yeah, that sounds good. Cream and...
Okay.
Okay.
So, no, he said chicken, mushroom soup.
No, that makes sense, because curry is creamy. Yeah.
And you can have chicken curry.
Yeah, we use powdered cream.
It's coconut cream.
Okay, fine. That's a good example. All right. So we have a question then. Okay, we have a mixture of meat and dairy together. Question is, what are we going to do about that? Let me give you another example of a kind of mix-up that could happen. Okay, this is, I think, what we started with last time, and this is what we're going to start with now. Let's say, all right, that you have, all right, two dishes. All right, let's say that there are two types. How are we going to do this here? The example I gave you last time was of kosher stuff and non-kosher stuff. Okay, we talked about candy bars, where some brands of the candy bar are kosher, and some of the candy bars are not kosher, but they look exactly the same, and the kosher symbol would be like on the big box and not on each individual bar. That was one example that I think we gave last time. And then the problem is they got mixed up, and you don't remember which one is which. Let's say the same thing could happen with, you know, I don't know, something which is a similar dish, which is one is parve and one is dairy. Or one is meat and one is parve, and one is meat and one is dairy. Okay, a kind of pie, I don't know exactly. Let's say, I don't know, you have a kind of bereka. Again, bereka sometimes are dairy and sometimes are parve. Usually you could tell what they are because you just look at the inside. But let's say you couldn't, for some reason, there was some reason why it was eaten already, you couldn't tell, but you know that one of them was dairy and one of them was parve. Question is, can you now eat it with meat? How do you deal with it? In terms of that. What?
Do you drink
Okay, so we have to see. Okay, the main example that we're going to focus on is really the candy bar case. Okay, when you have one thing which is kosher, one thing which is not kosher, and you don't know which one it is. Okay, let's look at source number one. Source number one is going to give us an interesting principle in the Gemara. Actually, well, before we do that, let's think about what you guys would do. Okay, this is, I think, what we said last time. Okay, we said you have a candy bar, you have three candy bars, and two of them are kosher, and one is not kosher, and you don't know which one is which. You mix them up. So now the question is, what do you do? So let's start with that question. Who wants to suggest what you do in that case? Any ideas? What? Don't eat any of them. Okay, that's one option. Don't eat any of them. That would seem to make sense to me, right? Okay. Anybody else?
You call the company.
Okay. And how are they going to know? You give them some sort of code or whatever? You can ask them. The question is, do you trust the company? What if they tell you the wrong thing? They'd be like, kosher, what's that? Not necessarily the people that write the kosher symbol, but the people in charge of that you call on the hotline might or may not know the status, and they might get it confused. It could be that's a good solution. If you can really find a way to do that in a way which you'll get a good answer that's correct, then that's actually an excellent idea. But I'm not sure. I just don't know whether it would work. So you have to test it out to see whether it works. Okay. Anybody else? Nothing? Nobody has any ideas. All right. You guys want to hear what the answer is? Yes. Dying to hear the answer? Okay. Let's see. Source number one. The Gemara says, Mina ha-milta de'amar rabbanan zil batar ruba. Where do we know the halacha that the rabbis have said that in general we follow the ruba? Ruba is from the word rove. Anybody know what rove means?
The main.
Right, the main one. Otherwise, in English, the fancy word is? Who knows? Well, guys, you know this. Rove. What does rove mean in English? It starts with an M. Ma. Oh, come on, guys. Majority. Thank you. The non-American gets the prize. Sorry, she's putting you guys to shame. Majority, thank you.
What
did you say?
What? I knew what you meant, but I couldn't find
English. I know, you could have, but that's fine. You're not from America, so you're not expected to. You know English, but. Okay, good. Majority. Okay, how do we know that we follow the majority? So the Torah says, Minol, what kind of question is that? We know the answer. The Torah says, Dichtiv acharei ravim ha'tzon. You should follow the majority. That's what the Torah says. And therefore, it seems that based on that pasuk, the rabbis have derived that in all cases, you should follow the majority. Okay? Based on that, what would you say in my situation that I gave you before, the three candy bars? Ah! So, how do you pronounce your name again? Ariana, right? Okay, so Ariana says that if there's three candy bars, and you know that two were kosher, and one was not kosher, but you just don't remember which one, that you should follow the majority. And therefore, what would you be allowed to do? You'd be allowed to eat them, because most of them are kosher. Eat them. No problem.
Is it really not
kosher? Hold on. We'll get there. Good question. We'll get there. You're right on target, but we have to wait a few minutes before we get there. So that's what you might say. You could follow the majority. Excellent. There's three things. You don't know which one. Okay, therefore follow the majority. Good. Okay. Now, as we're going to see later, that's not so simple in all situations. Okay? Meaning in a situation where there's actually a real mixture together where the meat, you know, the dairy fell in the soup or the cholent, we're going to see that principle may not be relevant. But in this case, it seems like, the Gemara seems to say, the way that it's understood, is that in a situation where you have three things and two are good and one is not good, then you can follow the majority. What happens if two are not kosher and one is kosher? Then what? Can't eat them. Good. Okay. Excellent. You guys with me so far? So far so good? Pretty simple, right? So far, not too hard yet? Yeah? Guys on the side of the room, you guys are okay? We're good? Yeah? Yes? Yes, okay. Now, Gemma asks a really, really good question, and a really important question. Okay, she says, well, one second, Rabbi, let's think about this. Okay, you're telling me, okay, you're a rabbi, you're telling me that the Gemara is telling me that you can follow the majority. So she says, well, what did that mean? Well, just one second. If we understand this the way that I think what Ariana was saying, it means that we have two kosher candy bars, and one which is not kosher, and you just told me that you can eat the candy bar, which is not kosher. For goodness sakes, what is wrong with you? Hey, why can't you just say that if we're not sure which one is kosher and which one is not kosher, just don't eat all of them? It doesn't make any sense. What are we doing here by saying that you are allowed, according to the Gemara, you can eat a not kosher candy bar? How could it possibly be? You guys understand the question? Does it seem like an important question to you? This seems ridiculous, right? Why is the Gemara telling us that we can eat a non-kosher candy bar? Very unusual. So the question is there any other way to understand this Gemara which might answer that question? Meaning, maybe the Gemara didn't mean exactly what it said. Maybe there's something to do to recognize the fact that we realize that one of these candy bars are not kosher. Any ideas? I mean, maybe what it said, it didn't really mean you could eat all the candy bars. Maybe it didn't really mean... It meant something a little different than that. Anybody have any ideas what it might mean? Any guesses? Gosh, you guys are too quiet today. This is terrible. I don't want you to talk to each other, but for class, I want you to speak up and think of ideas. Yeah?
Maybe, like, do what the majority of people do? Like,
what does that mean?
I don't know. Like, do what is accepted in
society. Okay, what would that be? I think most people in society eat non-kosher because they're not Jewish.
No, like in the Jewish.
The Jewish society, what does that mean? Most people would probably not eat anything. If I asked you guys on your own before you saw the Gemara, what would you say?
I wouldn't eat it.
You wouldn't eat any of them, right? You'd throw them all in the garbage. Now, maybe if it was like really, really expensive candy bars that were like your favorite band, maybe you'd give me a different answer. Maybe. What do you think? Maybe. Depends how much you get your heart got to you. Right. Okay, so that's going to be a question. But overall, you'd say, of course, throw them out. So the Rishonim on the Gemara here, the commentaries were bothered by this also. They say it really doesn't make sense. It's hard to understand how could be the Gemara is telling us you can just eat all the candy bars and stuff them all in your mouth at the same time. Okay, take them and stuff them in your mouth right now all at the same time. You're certainly eating not kosher. How could that be allowed? So therefore, the Rishonim, as you see in the box in source number 2, there's 4 different approaches in the Rishonim in the commentaries to try to explain some way to sort of keep the rule of the Gemara, but to acknowledge in some form the fact that we know that one of these candy bars is not kosher. Okay, let's see what the ways are. Ready? Okay, let's do it. We'll go for the top box. Okay, this is the Smag. The Smag is the Sefer Mitzvot Gedol, and he's one of the commentaries on the Mitzvot. Like the Rambam has a book of mitzvot, the Smag also has a book of mitzvot. Let's see what he says here. The Smag says, Yesh lahachmir. Who knows what lahachmir means? Lahachmir means to be strict, good, or stringent. So the minute he says that, we already know he's going to be saying something a little more, you know, something that's more forbidden than what the Gemara says. Well, let's see what he says. Yesh lahachmir shalo yochlan adam echad. He says one should be stringent. Not to have what? Who understood this? Shalo yachlan adam echad. Can't hear. Louder. Lo yachlan adam echad. So now explain. Turn it around and explain it in a way that makes sense. You could do it. I know you could do it. Just think about it for a second. What does it mean? It means that you should not have... What does adam echad mean? One person. Do what? Eat what? Well, you don't know which one it is. So what are we telling him not to do? Anybody want to help her out? She almost got it. I just need one last point.
Ah,
beautiful. Put you guys together and you got it. Brilliant. Okay, excellent. You guys got the point? He says you should be stringent. Shalo yachlan adam echad. That one person should not eat all the candy bars. Why? Why? Because if one person eats all 3 candy bars, what just happened? They definitely ate not kosher, right? Can you possibly believe that Gemara would have told you that one person can definitely eat something not kosher? Very hard to believe. So the Smag says, no, that's not what he meant. The Gemara never meant that. The Gemara meant, yes, you can be lenient to follow the majority and all the candy bars may be eaten. However, one person cannot eat all the candy bars. How does that help? Because let's say that 3 different people eat all 3 candy bars. So each person that picks up a candy bar, what can he say? Yeah, he'll say, I have no problem, I'm going to eat the kosher one. And there's 2 out of 3. The majority are kosher. I'm going to eat the kosher one.
Because he thinks that it's kosher, then it's fine?
Because it might be kosher. I mean, because the majority are kosher, every single person that eats one of the candy bars halachically is allowed to say, I'm eating the kosher one. Well, one of them is wrong. We know one of them is incorrect. But we don't need to know which one. It doesn't bother us.
But you're not allowed to, like, if you know someone eating kosher, like, okay, you're not allowed to let them.
correct, but apparently the Gemara is saying that's only true if you know that it's not kosher. But if you're not sure, and the majority is okay, the majority of the three items, of the individual items, are okay, so then you can rely on the majority, and you can eat any one of those, and you can say, that's the majority. Do you think that one person can eat two out of three?
Yeah.
Why? Okay, good. So there's two ways to look at this here. Either you could say, yes, it's fine, because then you still didn't definitely eat the forbidden one. Or you could say, well, no, in that case, are you relying on the majority anymore? In that case, you lost the majority, because two out of three you definitely got at least one of them. You know, one of the ones that you got, there's a majority that it's at least half-half, at least 50-50, that it's going to be the problematic one. It sounds like what the Smog is saying here is that you'll be allowed to eat two out of three. Why? It sounds like he's focused on the fact that you cannot you can't eat something which is definitely forbidden. But if there's a chance that at least it's okay, then it's fine. So that's what he's saying here, that it seems like as long as you know, you're not definitely doing something wrong, you're allowed to have different people eat the different candy bars. Everybody understand his approach here? Everybody got this? Y'all still with me? Yeah? Okay. Great. Let's look across at the left upper box of Rashi. So Rashi also talks about this in the Gemara. And what does Rashi say here? Rashi says, Tzarich lizruk chaticha achat. Who wants to try to translate that one? Tzarich is pretty easy. So, would you say? Ah, excellent. Tzarich, you need to lizruk, throw out. Chaticha achat, one piece. Again, the Gemara, they're talking about pieces of meat. We're talking about candy bars, but it's the same thing. Okay. So Rashi says, wait one second. Okay, I can't allow you to just eat all the candy bars. I can't allow anybody to eat all the candy bars. What do we have to do? Throw one of them out. Now,
like one of them, like from a non-Jewish person.
No, we don't know which one is which. They're mixed up. We're confused.
As in, I think with throwing one out count as giving one to.
What do you think?
Yeah.
I think I agree. Probably yes. I think is a non-Jew allowed to eat non-kosher? That's how much I feel allowed to, right? But, so, if it's okay, so there shouldn't be any problem of you giving him the candy bar. So that should be fine. So you don't have to throw it out. You just give it to your friend who's not Jewish. Good. How does that help? What does that accomplish for the Jews? What does that accomplish to throw one, to get rid of one? Anybody have suggest what they think this helps with here? How does that do anything?
Nobody? The non-kosher one?
What?
It might be the non-kosher one.
Right. So what? Maybe it is, maybe it's not. Yeah. But
the idea is it a piece of each bar?
No, one whole bar.
That wouldn't be.
So it would be the same thing with you have 10.
Well, then
okay?
You still have in mind that you're eating the kosher one.
Let's say you had 10. How would this work again? Let's say you had 10 bars. I mean, the case of the bar is 3, but if you had 10. Yeah, that's actually a good question. But what happens if you have 10 bars and 7 are kosher and 3 are not kosher? Then what? Does throwing out the bars really help? The answer is in that case, you probably have to throw out 3 bars. Let's say that case. You have 10 bars, 7 are kosher, and 3 are not kosher. And you have to throw out the 3 there. You have to throw out 3. How does that help? So what are we saying? But maybe you throw out the kosher ones, though. Maybe the ones that are left are the non-kosher ones.
Is it to do with, like, if someone sees it happen and then they see that you're throwing one out, so they...
It's a good suggestion, but probably not. It's hard to understand. Well, it doesn't make sense, because really, who knows what you're doing? It's probably better if you have all of them there. There's more of a chance that you're doing the kosher ones. And then if you throw out some of them, then you have a lesser chance. And there's more of a chance that it's one of the non-kosher ones. You don't really know exactly what's happening. Let me explain to you. The answer is, that according to Rashi, this is sort of like a halakhic, what's the word? It's like a halakhic, not a loophole. But it's a halachic mechanism of making you feel better about yourself. What does that mean? It sounds so silly, right? But it means that, according to Rashi, halachically, you can do something by saying that if I throw out one of the candy bars, I can treat that candy bar as if it's the non-kosher one.
See?
Excuse me? You're right, but halachically, we say that it becomes the non-kosher one. It's a trick. It's a gimmick. But halachically, it works, according to Rashi. You understand? Maybe Rashi agrees that we don't want you eating all those candy bars. Because if you eat all the candy bars, you are definitely going to eat one of the ones that's forbidden. So what we can do is throw out one. We'll say that that's a non-kosher candy bar. Or throw out 3 in my other example. And then if you eat the other ones, we'll say, oh, you must be eating the kosher ones. But now, have you definitely eaten non-kosher? Have you definitely eaten non-kosher in that case?
No.
No, right? So therefore, that's, according to Rashi, also he's solving the same problem. He's saying, I can't believe that the Gemara would say that I can eat I can definitely eat a non-kosher candy bar. So I'm going to find a mechanism to do that. If I throw out one, I can already say no, that I didn't definitely eat the non-kosher one. And then I can say we have a majority, follow the majority. You understand what they're doing here? The Rishonim are all taking the Gemara and playing games with it to try to make it make sense with what they think makes sense, which is what we think makes sense, which is that you shouldn't be eating definitely a non-kosher candy bar. See, they're interpreting the Gemara in a little bit of a different way. You guys understand what's happening here? Are you guys all lost or just... Yeah? You guys with me?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, yeah.
Isn't that like saying that on Shabbat, let's say you need to switch on the light, so you tell yourself it's Friday and then it's Saturday?
You tell me, is that the same thing? You think it is?
It's like cheating.
Why?
Because you know that you couldn't eat that after and still eat it.
Right. So what's the goal? The goal is that in this case, once there's a mixture, we know that you can follow the majority if there's a mixture. That's what the Gemara says. That's what the Torah says. But what we're saying is that we're also making sure that you don't definitely eat the non-kosher one. As long as there's one missing, then you can say maybe that's non-kosher one, and you're not definitely eating non-kosher, and that's fine. That's very different than saying turn on light and say it's Friday.
Well, you could be eating.
What?
You could be eating.
You're right, but as long as you can follow the majority, it's fine. I mean, you're right, it's still a big point. But the idea is the Torah says you're allowed to follow the majority, even to be lenient. You're allowed, as long as you're not definitely eating the non-kosher candy bar. If you're definitely eating it, according to these opinions, that's problematic. So if you tell me, let me give you a parallel example of what you're saying. Let's say that you have three switches. Okay, I don't know why you want to do this. Let's say you have three switches, and two of them don't work, and one of them does work. Now, on Shabbos, for some reason, you want to try to turn on, press the switch that doesn't work. Why do you want to do that? I have no idea. Let's say. Are you allowed to press the switches to see if there's a chance that maybe you're going to turn on the one that works? Sure?
I don't know.
Confused? I thought you said you understood.
Yeah, I did.
She's contradicting herself. I understand. You understand what we're saying, you just, it doesn't make sense. Right? So the answer is there's a rule on Shabbos also that if you're not sure that you're definitely going to violate the prohibition, maybe it's okay. I'll give you better examples like this.
You can open the fridge if you're not sure whether the light is on.
Correct. Again, it's a machlokas that we're opposed to, but the bottom line is there's room to be lenient. A better example, even a really good example, is the following case. Let's say that on Shabbos, you're walking outside. Okay, the chutzlars often have like houses that have like sensor lights on them, that if you walk past the house, the light is going to go on. So let's say that you know there's one house on the block which has a sensor light, you don't know which one it is. Are you allowed to walk on that block? Why? You might turn on the light. The answer is because you don't know which one it is, every house you walk past, there's a chance that maybe there's going to be a light that's going to turn on it, which is problematic. But you don't know for sure it's going to happen. As long as you don't know for sure it's going to happen, it's okay. If you know for sure that the house that you're walking past right now, that you're about to walk past, if you walk past it, you're going to turn on the light, are you allowed to walk past? The answer is probably not. There may be someone that would say it's okay, but probably not. Why not? Because you know for sure that you're going to turn on the light. But if you don't know for sure, even if there's a chance, it's okay. Guys, it's sort of the same thing here also. As long, according to these opinions, as long as you're not sure that you're eating the non-kosher one, maybe it's okay. Make sense? Okay, great. Let's look at the third one. Look at the bottom right box, where it says the Rosh. Actually, before we do that, let's do the one on the bottom left, the Rashba. Let's look what the Rashba says. He also is bothered by the same question. He has a different way of solving the problem. He says, Yachol Adam Echad Lechol Tachatichot. So what does he say so far? One person, good. One person is allowed to eat all the pieces. So he doesn't have a problem with that. Even if one person eats all of them, that's fine. He says that's what the Gemara says. It's okay. Aval lo yochlan bivat achat. El yochlan achat achat. Anybody know what that means?
Not all together, but like number one.
Good. Excellent. Everybody hear what Dina said?
No.
Say it louder.
Like not all together, but like one by one.
Okay, good. He says you're allowed to eat them one after another. Okay, you pick up one candy bar and eat it. Wait a minute. Pick up the next candy bar and eat it. Wait another minute, and pick up the third one and eat it. That's permitted.
Why didn't that make
what does that help?
Can you eat them all at the same time? One after the other. Stuff it in your mouth, stuff it in your mouth, stuff it in your mouth. Make it a stomach ache, but how luckily is it okay? No. The answer is no. What does that accomplish? Yeah, you tell me. What's his logic here? Any ideas?
No.
Stumped.
Or is it that like when you eat each one, you need to think to yourself, you need to take time to what I'm about to eat is kosher.
If you have the right intentions in your mind, you have the right kavana, then it's okay, right? Okay, maybe. Anybody else? What'd you say? How would that help? You say they're all mixed together? Okay. I'm not sure if that would help. I have to think about it a little bit. You mean if they're all in your teeth at the same time? That's what you mean?
Yeah, but maybe like the one that's not kosher and the other one's not kosher.
I see, but that may be true, but even if that didn't happen, you still have a problem with eating the non-kosher one, right? It's still, you just want to say you're limiting the amount of prohibitions you're doing. You could just say don't eat it, right? But they don't say that. Probably the easier way around it. Yeah?
If you just put them all together, then you're sure you're eating the one that's not kosher, and one by one, you have no idea which one is the kosher one.
Yeah, I was on the right track. Basically, this is like a really interesting chiddush. This is similar to what we said before, but even one step farther. Okay, ready? What it sounds like he's saying here is that if you eat, you know, one of the bars right now, then you eat another one 5 minutes from now, and another one 10 minutes later. Okay, so every time you eat, what would we say? If I eat the first one now, what are we going to say about it? We're going to say, it's the kosher one. It's fine. Wait 5 minutes, eat the next one. What's right now? Well, that's one of the majority. It's one of the kosher ones. It's fine. And the third time? Well, I already ate the other two. If it's the other two, it's too late. But this one is one of the majority, so this one is kosher. So even if you ate the non-kosher one at some point along the way, according to the Rashba, it's based on time. If at any given time you can argue that that given particular piece is majority kosher, is probably one of the majority of kosher, it's okay. Even if at the end we know that at the end of the day you ate something which is non-kosher. You understand? We don't look at the piece, we look at the time. And as long as at any given time, it could be that at that time you're eating the kosher one, then it's permitted. Yeah, it's very interesting. Okay, I wouldn't have said that on my own, and you probably wouldn't have said it either. That's what he says, based on the Gemara. The Gemara says that we follow the majority. This is his understanding of the Gemara. Okay, everybody got that? Interesting? It's an interesting opinion, right? Okay, now, what's going to be the most radical opinion you can think of? What would be the most extreme opinion that you could say here about what would be permitted? According to the Gemara, the Gemara says that you follow the majority. What would be the most extreme case that would be permitted? To say that
you can eat
all of them when?
Like all together.
All at the same time. One right after the other. Stuff in your mouth. That would be the more extreme case. Look at the bottom right box. Look at the Rosh. The Rosh says, Yachol lechol et kol hachatichot. What does that mean? Right. Afil bevat achat. Even if it's all at one time. See what he said? He said, I couldn't care less if I know that right at this moment I am definitely eating non-kosher. You're allowed to eat every single one exactly at the same time. Now what in the world could be the basis for that? How could he explain that? How could he say that we're allowing you l'chadchila at this moment to know for sure that you are definitely eating a non-kosher candy bar right now? How could that be? What's the logic? Talk to me, what's the logic? What do you say? Okay guys, Jennifer, what do you think? Just use your brain. Use your brain. Think about it a little bit for a second. What would be, how would you create the logic here to say that it's okay? What do you say? No idea. Oh, guys, use your head. Just think for a second. Think about how. Wow. Yes. What'd you say? It's fine. I'll still listen. Okay, how would you say that? What does that mean exactly? Okay, and therefore what?
And therefore it's one thing you're eating.
Uh-huh. And why does it make it okay then?
Because
don't get scared. Just answer me. You can give an answer. That's what you're saying.
It's one kosher thing.
Basically, the three candy bars became one big kosher candy bar because the majority was kosher. Okay, that's an interesting idea. The only problem with your idea is that it's actually probably the reverse. As we'll see later, If you have one mixture, which is all one entity, then it seems there's more reason why you should be more machmir and say that the majority doesn't work. It's not good enough. It's the other idea, but you flip it a little bit. We'll have to see how it goes. But the concept is a similar concept, okay? Now, guys, okay, let's take our idea and develop a little more, okay? All the people that are working on their phones right now. Okay, I need your help, okay? Your phones don't need your help. Your phones are the evil inclination, okay? Help me, though. I want to hear what you have to say. What do you think the Rosh is going to say here? Okay. What the Rosh is going to say? If the Gemara is saying that you're allowed to eat all three together, all at the same time, then apparently what that means is something really radical, something ridiculously crazy. I mean, I'm obviously dramatizing this a little bit, but what could be so crazy that maybe the Gemara is saying it? Let me ask you a question. There's three candy bars. Okay, the first two that are kosher. The first one is kosher. Is it kosher?
Yes.
The second one is kosher. Is it kosher?
Yeah.
Good. The third one is not kosher. Is it kosher?
No.
Okay, you're raising a different point. Let's figure out what's really true.
Okay.
Is the third one kosher? It's not kosher. Is it kosher?
No.
The answer is, according to the Rush? No, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're wrong. You thought you were trying to be too machmir on yourself, you know, trying to be good, you know, goody-goody. Like, and you're wrong. What's the answer? The answer is that the third one that's not kosher is kosher. It's kosher.
Why?
You tell me. So the Rush has a famous expression, which unfortunately I did not put on the sheet here. It's not on the sheet, I apologize, but I'll tell you the expression, okay? I wish I could write it on the board, but there's no marker, as usual. Just have to listen to me, okay? It's called Isur Nehapach Liot Hetzer. Oh, you're looking at it right, thank you. Okay. This is a really interesting expression. Okay? Isur Nehapach Liot Hetzer. Who can explain to me what this means?
Forbidden turns into
Something which is forbidden, which is absolutely prohibited, can turn into something which is permitted. How does that happen? How does that work? You just believe. I believe that it's kosher. I believe it has to be. You believe it's strong enough.
You're doing the right thing.
Believe you're doing the right thing. Okay, unfortunately, I can't quite go that far. But.
Why? You think it's like the
kosher bar? Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, fine. You're right. Well, let's say you believe. Let's say you thought it was really true. Let's say I have a feeling. I just have this feeling in my gut. This one is the truth. But let's say you really want it. You really want it. Okay, you're a bad person, but I'm going to eat it anyway. Why is that? Because the halakha told me that, the Gemara told me that I could, according to the Rush. What's the idea? So, you sort of got it, but let me explain a little better. What they're saying basically is that, according to the halachic system turns the non-kosher candy bar into a kosher candy bar. The very fact that we have a rule that the majority wins means that the part that's not part of the majority, sort of like what Pedro was saying before, but in the reverse way, it turns into one of the majority, not because it's mixed together, because it's one entity, but all three, each one by itself, turns into the kosher one. It's a very interesting idea, halakhically. Usually wouldn't say something like that. But in this case, the Rush says that's what's going on. In his opinion, you'd be allowed to eat all of them all at the same time because the one that's not kosher got turned into the kosher one because it became part of the majority. You understand that? You got that?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions before we move on? All right. The question is, which of these opinions does the halakha follow? I gave you four different opinions here. But which one do we actually follow in practice? So again, this doesn't happen very often, but if it does happen, it's a really interesting case, and it's important to know the principles about what the halakha says about mixture of lists.
The Gemara is not talking about candy bars. What's it actually?
Pieces of meat. Kosher meat or non-kosher meat. Yeah, don't worry, they didn't have candy bars back in those days. Yeah. The pieces of meat look exactly the same, and they were bought, let's say, in the same butcher shop. Which today we wouldn't do. That's not good today, but you know, in principle, it would be okay if you knew which ones are kosher and which ones are not kosher.
But why would he have it to start the non-kosher? I mean, it's in the store.
Let's say he's in the store, and his pieces of meat got put down for a second. He went to the bathroom for a minute, and then afterwards they got a little mixed up. The owner didn't realize, he forgot, and there's two pieces of meat, and he paid 100 shekel for that piece of meat, $100 or whatever. $100. Let's say he paid it was an expensive piece of meat. He doesn't want to just give it up. So the halacha says maybe, in that case, maybe he can take all. Now again, it's not so simple. Actually, there's another principle which we're not getting into now, which is called kol kabua kemechta mechtadami, which means if the pieces stay exactly in the same spot where they were starting, where they started out, then maybe you can't assume the majority rules. You have to say that each one is a 50% chance that that's the one that's not kosher. That was not a good example. But let's say you put it down somewhere on the street or in your house, and somehow you got it got mixed up with other pieces. And those other pieces, you don't know which one it is. In that case, you'd be allowed to eat it, for sure, all three of them. Yeah.
So if, let's say, you have a suit.
Okay.
Like a milky suit and
yes.
meat.
Yes.
Can you still
hold on, we're getting okay, we didn't get there yet. We didn't get there. Okay? So in terms of this point, this by the way is what's called, this whole case is called Yavesh B'Yavesh. What does Yavesh B'Yavesh mean? Yavesh means dry, actually. Okay, Yavesh B'Yavesh means the two pieces are dry. There's a mixture of different items, and they're all dry, so they didn't actually get mixed together. They're each one is separate. Each one is 1, 2, 3, 4. They don't touch each other, but you just can't figure out which one is which. Okay. So when it comes to Yavesh B'Yavesh, the rule is the way that we just said. Okay, that's the rule is basically one of these four pieces that we just read. Which one do we hold? Look at source number three. The Shulchan Aruch says, Chaticha shenit arva ba'achemet. If one piece of meat got mixed up with other pieces of meat, Yavesh B'Yavesh, and they're all, it's solid. Okay, it's not liquid mixtures, it's all solid pieces. So he says, Chad betrei batel. He says, if you have one which is not kosher and two that are kosher, the one which is not kosher is nullified in the majority of the two. Umutar la'achlan, and you're allowed to eat kol echa b'fnei atma, each one by itself. Avalo yu'achal shlosh pam yachad, but you can't eat all three at the same time. Which opinion is this? Can you guys figure out which opinion this is? Out of the four we saw, which opinion is he holding like here? Excellent, it's the Rashba. Look back at the four opinions again. It's the bottom left box, where the Rashba basically said you can eat all the pieces, but you just can't eat them all at one time. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says here. You can follow that opinion. You can eat all of them, just not at one time.
Wait, the
Rashba. Bottom left box.
I thought you said you have to eat them.
You don't have to do anything, but if you want to, you can. That's what the Rush said. That's the bottom right box. There's four different opinions here. The Shulchan Aruch is holding like the Rashba, which is the bottom left box. That's why he says you can eat them all, just not all at the same time. Then he says, and then he says, some people hold that you're not allowed to have one person eat them, even one after the other. Who's that? Which opinion is that? Anybody remember? Out of the four boxes here? He says, somebody holds that you can't have one person eat all of them, even if it's one after the other. Smag, excellent, excellent. Top right box. Very, very good. That's what the Smag said. So the Shulchan Aruch basically says there's two opinions about this, and he doesn't tell you which one is correct. Comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says, V'chein yishlinog l'chadchila. It says, l'chadchila, that's what you should follow. Okay, that you shouldn't have the same person eat all the pieces of meat. And then he says, V'yesh machmir, and somewhere even more stringent, l'hashlich echad olitein l'avodah kochavim. Either you should throw one out or give it to a non-Jew, like we said before. That's only a stringency. I mean, you don't need to do that. But some people, if you want to be especially machmir, you could do that. Who's the one that said you should throw one piece out and give it to a non-Jew? Which opinion was that? Rashi, excellent. Great, guys. You guys are on the ball. Beautiful. Okay? So that's what we have here. The Shulchan Aruch, we already have three different opinions that are quoted here. The Shulchan Aruch quotes two of them. The Ramah accepts the Smag as being the principal halacha, that you should not have one person eat all of them. And then the Ramah says, some people hold like Rashi. Okay? So the Shulchan Aruch says, again, okay, Shulchan Aruch number one is basically the Rashba. Okay, eat but not at the same time. And then the second opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. Sorry, number two is that he says that's the Smag. Okay, you can't have not one person eating it. And then the Ramah says. Ramah is opinion number one. He says, follow the Smag. That's the real opinion. And then the Ramah number two says, Rashi. Okay, Ramah number two says, you could follow Rashi. Okay, throw one out. Throw out one. But he says, it's only a chari. You don't really need to do that. It's just a stringency. Okay, fine. Which of the opinions is missing? We got three out of the four. Which one is missing? the Rosh is missing. Too bad, right? That was the best one. The most radical one is missing. But the answer is the Rama actually holds of it after all. He actually does agree with it in some principle, in some form. Now, he says, okay, I'm not going to read it inside, but in source number 4, basically, the Rama has another case. Let's say the following case, all right? Let's say, okay, that you have, this is actually what Patino was saying a little bit. Let's say, you have, I don't know what's a good example. Let's think of something which has like kosher and non-kosher. Let's say it's meat. Okay, you have 3 pieces of meat and 2 kosher and 1 non-kosher piece of meat. And then what do you do? Okay, before realizing what you had to do to follow the halacha that we said, let's say that you cooked them all together in the same dish. Uh-oh, now what do we do? They're all, the 3 pieces of meat are in the same cholent. My cholent for Shabbos, what am I going to do without my cholent? Oh yeah, I can't not have my cholent. I don't know if anybody here likes cholent, but you guys like cholent? It's good, right? Not so much. Okay, fine. I think it's pretty good. What am I going to do with my cholent? I have to have my cholent, but the 3 pieces of meat are mixed inside. I'm for sure eating a little bit of the meat now altogether. So what did the Ramah say in that case? So the Ramah says in that case, it could be cooked.
Since it's not dry.
Hold on. So he says, basically, in that case, if you found out about the problem of the pieces of meat, and you knew that one piece of meat was not kosher, and then after you found out about it, then afterwards you cooked it all together in the cholent, he said the halacha is, in that case, once it's all mixed together as one, that's b'diavad. It's already after the fact, and in that case he says you can follow the Rosh. See? Maybe l'chachilo, the Rambam says it's better to follow the sman and not have one person eat it. That's if you have a choice. But if it gets all, after that happened, you realize what happened, and you still by accident afterwards mixed it all together and put it cooked into the cholent or whatever, the stew, in that case he says that in principle really follow the Rosh and you would actually be allowed to eat the whole thing because of the fact that the evidence, once you're already, it's too late, then we say you can follow the Rosh. Okay, everybody got that? Yeah.
Is that the case when you're sure that the meat is right, yeah, one piece is not kosher?
Yeah, exactly the same case, just you mixed it all together. And you knew already that it was one piece that was not kosher. You knew what happened. And afterwards, you still messed up. And you still interesting to be stared at while you're, whatever. Okay. So that's the, they were looking at me, don't worry, not at you. that's what was going on here. Everybody got this, more or less? Okay, we don't have so much time, but just to deal with the next case. Okay, based on everything we just said. So now, let me ask you a question. Okay, what would happen if you had our case of the same cholent, but this time by accident, as you were, you know, making your cholent, as you were cooking your cholent, okay, let's say it was cooking on a pot, or you opened up the crock pot for a minute, or so, whatever it was. Basically, in Israel, you know, guys, we have like bags of milk here sometimes. Okay, so one of the negative sides of the bags of milk, there must be a lot of negative sides. One of the negative sides is, let's say that by accident it spills. Okay,
yeah.
You're walking past your cholent and you trip, and a little bit of milk spills from the bag right into your cholent. Ouch!
Is it more than 1/60th?
Wait, one second. What happened to the majority? Why don't we follow the majority? What you said?
It's
not drunk. So one second. Wet. So till now we were talking about yavish. Now the case that I'm asking you about is what's called lach b'yavish or lach b'lach, where some of it is not dry. Okay, it's moist, which means basically that now, instead of having 3 distinct pieces, we have one big mixture. We have one big mixture. Now, if there's one big mixture, do you think that we can still say follow the majority? Yes or no? You guys jump to say 1/60th, but logically, what do you think? What would you say?
If it's not
the
majority.
No, it's the majority. It's a tiny bit of milk. It's 3% milk. And it's 97% chocolate with meat. So I'm asking you, do you think that you should follow the majority and be allowed to eat it? So they jumped and said, no, you have to look at 1/60th, which is much less than the majority, obviously. Well, let's say it's 3%, which is more than 1/60th, but it's still obviously a minority of milk. It's mostly meat. So it's the halacha. Can you eat the cholent? Why?
Because it's wet.
Ah, exactly. There we go. Perfect. Okay. Everybody hear what Ariana said? The difference between this case, the cholent, and this case, is that at the time when it got mixed together, it all got mixed as one. It was one. It all, the taste spreads throughout the whole thing. In the case of the solid, one second, in the case of the solid candy bars, the candy bars don't actually mix with each other. So in that case, you could argue that maybe I'm not eating the candy bar, that it's not kosher, just as we said, either not at that time, whatever it is, you know, even not according to the Rush, according to all the other ones, even according to the Rush, at the time that they got mixed, each candy bar is distinct. So you could say, well, the candy bar that's not kosher became kosher, or this candy bar, whatever. You can look at all the things we just said. But in the case where it all immediately at the time of the mixture, it immediately becomes one big mass, then we have a problem. What's that? Let's say that I spilled in a lot of milk, okay? Quite a bit, almost a whole bag of milk. There's still more cholin. What percent do we have? Okay, 1 minute, 1 minute. Still more cholin, but there's, you know, 60% meat, cholin meat, 60%, and 40% milk. So majority is meat, maybe it's fine. The problem is, though, if you start tasting your cholin, what does it taste like?
Milk.
It tastes like a lot of milk. So as we're going to see next time, halacha is that if your cholin begins to taste like milk, that's going to be a problem. And the tasting like milk thing is not something that's going to be relevant in this case, because in this case, every time you eat, you might not be in the kosher one. Each bar is distinct. But in this case, it's one big mixture. At the time that it gets mixed together, it's already you can taste the milk. That's going to be much more problematic. So what we're going to see next time is that's where the whole thing about 160th comes into play, basically whether the taste of the milk is actually tasteable in the cholin or not. Okay, any questions? Great, okay.